Okay, welcome to A Course in Miracles. We're going to take another pass at answering the invitation that Course in Miracles gives us with these few paragraphs. The Course in Miracles teaches with contrast. It teaches very much to what the ego is. It teaches very much to what the block is, more than it teaches the answer. The answer actually comes automatically when you remove the block, is the whole point. But boy, do we have a misunderstanding about what the blocks actually are and how they weave their way into our thinking. So this is the actual help that we need. We don't need help with love. We don't need help with love. You who are of love, you who gravitate naturally toward love, you who actually contribute to love, do not need to know what love is. But you who are now blocking love from your decisions and your life, finding yourself in chaos or in anger or in sadness, or in some type of depravity, some type of loss, you need help to see how you're doing that. So this is a section called Reason and the Forms of Error.
But isn't it true you can be both someone who loves and someone who has blocks? I mean, I think that's true for me.
Well, you can't, let me say what you just said. The answer is yes, but let me say it this way. You cannot be fully deprived of love. Okay. You can deny a lot, but you can't deny that you really pine for love.
No, I can't, that's for sure.
So, you know, there's a pretty small group here. So, Jason, you up to talking tonight and reading? So let's take a few moments to share with each other what. Just give me a couple of words, not a big discussion, just a couple of words that come to mind. We're not going to meditate. I'm going to call on you and just see what happens to be there. Well, Luann, you're first up. What? Just give me an attribute or two. What comes to your mind when I say, what is love?
Oh, what is love? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. For me, love is a presence of energy flowing through me, and it feels like love.
Nice. An energy flowing through you is love. Jacqueline, what is something about love that you can share with us? I got your mute. Go ahead.
Well, it encompasses all of the qualities that the teacher's manual talks about.
Nice.
As in this duality.
Which one pops in your head?
Kindness.
Kindness.
Charity. Forgiveness too. I know forgiveness is the undoing, but that is part, I guess maybe that's part of wanting to experience love, is forgiveness.
Forgiveness is also the opposite of fighting.
Yes.
Opposite of fighting is loving. For sure. Jason, I got your mute. Can you tell us something? What pops in your head when I say, what is love?
It's what I am.
What you are. Bingo. That's it. I just, what you are. No more to be said there. Tim, talk to me. What pops in your head?
Compassion.
Compassion. Beautiful. Essence of joining, yeah. Compassion. Love it. Thank you. Those are all very good. You know, it's very, very, very good things. Who wouldn't want love and at the expense of everything that is not love? Wouldn't you just toss anything that's not love? Well, I don't prefer that. Let me let that go. Let me forgive anything that's not love. It's not compassion, that it's not this sharing, that it's not forgiveness, that it's not what you actually are. Indeed. Good, good. That's what reason would tell you. Reason would tell you that you would choose this higher form of thinking and of being. Reason would tell you compassion would serve you more than judgment. And you know, so, hey, why not that as a guide? So that's what we're talking about. That's what we're going for here. Okay. Let's, Luann, would you read for us on page 474? Read for us paragraph 1, Reason and the Form of Error.
Paragraph 1, the introduction of reason into the ego's thought system is the beginning of its undoing. For reason and the ego are contradictory. Nor is it possible for them to coexist in your awareness. For reason's goal is to make plain and therefore obvious, you can see reason. This is not a play on words, for here is the beginning of a vision that has meaning. Vision is sense, quite literally. If it is not the body's sight, it must be understood. For it is plain, and what is obvious is not ambiguous. It can be understood, and what is it can be understood, period. And here do reason and the ego separate, to go their separate ways.
So there's a little hint here, a little quality I want to draw your attention to. If it is not the body's sight, which we well know, vision is not the body's sight, comma, it must be understood, period. That means that there's no doubt it came from your mind. Nice little logical imperative there. You can doubt what your body's eyes see. You may not have seen it right. But what you think, it is whatever you think it is. And you think with the Holy Spirit, it will be compassionate. It will be a reflection of what you are. It will be a type of forgiveness. If you think with the Holy Spirit, if you think with fear, then you're absolutely going to own that it's some kind of a threat. Nice little logical imperative. Okay, now, take a look at, hold your finger here. We're coming right back. Go to page 129 in the text. And we probably will do a little mini meditation on this thought because we have a nice small group. We can play around like this a little bit.
Andrew, quick
question.
Yes. Fair to say that vision is usually associated with mind, whereas sight is associated with perception.
That would be correct.
Okay.
Thank Vision you. Would be associated with understanding.
Right.
Therefore, mind.
Right.
And sight indeed goes through the filter of judgment and labels.
Okay. Comparison, labels, and right.
Yep.
We perceive no two of us the same. Even if we look at the same thing.
Yes. Even when you visualize, you have like we call them visions, right? You have a vision of something. That's still a perception. It is not the knowing of vision.
Explain this to my wife just before we started this about perception. And she goes, well, what do you mean we how do you know that there's other ways of seeing things or perceiving things? And I took a pencil and I put it, I said, this is a writing instrument for you and I, right? And I set it on the table and one of the cats started to poke at it. I said, now it's a cat toy, and it fell to the floor. And if we had a puppy here, the puppy might go for it and then begin to chew, and now it's a chew toy. Which one of us is correct?
Mm-hmm.
It's still yellow. It's still made out of wood. It's still a given length. There's even a part in the course where it says size and shape and things might be considered the same. I forget exactly how the wording goes. You probably know it better than I. you know, if all things were held equal, but they're not, you know. It's the filter of our understanding or our perception and the story we then impose upon it that gives it all the meaning it has for us. And that can and does shift constantly. Yeah. It can't, yeah. But.
Yeah. Fundamentally, perception looks at attributes. Vision looks beyond form. Vision understands meaning or what it is for or from where it comes in truth. Vision looks at only invisible attributes. That's why I like you were going down that road with turning a pencil into something that she wasn't expecting. It was opening her mind to all the other possibilities that any object has. And that pencil was it could be something else entirely. So it's open-mindedness was called for, and that goes beyond what the body's eyes can see. You bet. You bet.
I did that experiment with a client one time. I had something on a table. I said, close your eyes for a minute and think about what that means. And so she told me what it was meaning, and it was about four or five things she could say about it. And I said, okay, and this is what it means to me, and I came up with 10 things.
Yeah.
It was belonged to me, and, you know, I knew where I got it and who gave it to me and all that other stuff. And it has different, more meanings.
Yeah, so you can't really take that away from her, whatever she thought it was. It was not, nobody's really right or wrong on that.
Absolutely not. I never tried to change her mind.
Hold your finger here, too. Flip to workbook page 299 real quick. Let's look at vision for a second because it's so appropriate. Workbook page 299. And paragraph 7. Jason, would you read that for us? Workbook. I got your mute. Workbook 299, part of lesson 158, the magical lesson 158, the confusing 12 many levels are discussed. But paragraph 7 for us, would you?
Christ's vision has one law. It does not look upon a body and mistake it for the Son whom God created. It beholds a light beyond the body, an idea beyond what can be touched, a purity undimmed by errors, pitiful mistakes, and fearful thoughts of guilt from dreams of sin. It sees no separation, and it looks on everyone, on every circumstance, all happenings, all events, without the slightest fading of the light it sees.
All circumstances, all events, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Another quick hit for you is on page 40, paragraph 4.
In the book or the text?
In the text. Tim, when you get there, would you read paragraph 4 for us?
Okay. Paragraph 4. True vision is the natural perception of spiritual sight, but it is still a correction rather than a fact. Spiritual sight is symbolic and therefore not a device for knowing. It is, however, a means of right perception, which brings it into the proper domain of the miracle. A, quote, vision of God, unquote, would be a miracle rather than a revelation. The fact that perception is involved at all removes the experience from the realm of knowledge. That is why visions however holy, do not laugh.
So there's the rest of the story. Vision is still on the order of correction. It's still working with your right mind, not your one mind.
Mm.
Would you say it's safe to say that revelation is a timeless experience? It's without dimension.
Yep.
Okay. Therefore, it does not change. It's a higher order of communication between the creator and the created.
It's a higher order. Yeah. Not even appropriate to discuss.
No.
At our level. We who are so drunk. Vision is appropriate to discuss. Remember, it's not love. We don't need to have love defined.
Present.
We need to put the ego down. We need to put the block to the awareness of love down. Like an addict, before you really get started with the how to stay sober and the benefits of being sober, it's like maybe stop doing the drug. Let's start there. And then we'll try again tomorrow, see how you do with that. Fair. Come on, that's fair. Why talk about all these lofty things that you're denying yourself by continuing to think of separation or fear or anger or the body as an identity? A miracle is required. Purification is necessary first. That's what we're doing. But oh, what a freedom. What a freedom glimpse of the easier to breathe spiritual air. When your mind shifts away from the identity of body to the eternal identity of spirit. Wow. Yeah. Should we do one more? One more on vision. Let's go to, this is nice. 443. Yeah, this is pretty radical. This Course in Miracles is radical. you can drop all your fingers. I'll take you back to the appropriate pages. 443 in the text.
I dropped my paper that I write on.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
Gravity. It's really helpful, but sometimes it sucks.
Yeah.
So, Andrew, also, yeah. You 129, and we didn't do anything there, so maybe after this.
Well, we need to go by 129. Yeah, we'll go back to 129. Thank you for the reminder. Yeah, when we're done with this vision, then we're going to pick up at 129. Thank you, Jacqueline. Yeah, okay. We're going to do a little meditation on the 129. To get us deeper into tonight's reading. But first, we're doing a little polishing, a little pop quizzing and review on what vision is. Okay. Thank you, Jacqueline, every time. Let's read 4 through 6. 440, I think we go to 442.
That's 4 and 5.
That's probably getting too much into the body. Let's go 443, paragraph 6 and 7. Let's do that. And 8. So, Jacqueline, would you read for us paragraph 6?
Everything looked upon with vision falls gently into place according to the laws brought to it by his calm and certain sight. The end for everything he looks upon is always sure, for it will meet his purpose, seen in unadjusted form and suited perfectly to meet it. Destructiveness becomes...
Now, would you read just that interesting word there to slow us down a little bit, because we're not going to go over these a whole lot. Read that sentence again. For it will meet his Holy Spirit's purpose, seen in
unadjusted form.
Unadjusted form.
And suited perfectly to meet it.
Nice. Interesting.
Well, I guess what it truly is instead of how we can distort it or something. I don't know. Is that what
that's right.
Is?
No need to distort it. No need to pamper it. No need to make murder anything different than it appears to be. One body killing another body. If you're using sight in your ego, there's going to be all sorts of crazy emotions coming out of that, what I just said. But if you're able to use vision, you will not lose sight of the light. Mm-hmm. Please continue. Oh, look at the next sentence.
Destructiveness becomes benign, and sin is turned to blessing under his gentle gaze. What can the body's eyes perceive? What can the body's eyes perceive?
Yeah, and you could underline the body's eyes. What could the body's eyes, perceive?
With power to correct, ?
They see form, nothing, right? Jason's got it. They don't see with power to correct. They are just passive witnesses to what your ego believes.
Okay. Its eyes adjust to sin, unable to overlook it in any form and seeing it everywhere in everything.
Okay, that's seeing. That's what we mean by seeing, using the past as a reference. Perception uses judgment from the past, and you get the world. Please continue.
Looking through its eyes, and everything will stand condemned before you. All that could save you, you will never see. Your holy relationship, the source of your salvation, will be deprived of meaning and its most holy purpose bereft of means for its accomplishment.
Yeah. Okay, Luann, give us paragraph 7.
I just want to make a comment about that.
Oh, please, go ahead. You want to make a comment? Sure.
I think it almost feels like a threat.
Talk to me. Why?
I know it's not, but it could be. If I, your holy relationship, the source of your salvation, will be deprived of meaning. So if we do that, we're going to have our holy relationship deprived of meaning.
Oh, welcome to the world.
Yes.
I mean, that's why we study Course in Miracles.
Absolutely.
Good.
And that's why.
It is a threat. It's a reminder that this world without spirit, without light, is dark and gets darker, and then you die.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's what I meant by that.
Yeah, that's what I figured you meant.
It's like you really have to watch yourself.
You really do, because you're already drunk. You're already believing, part of you, much of you, is already believing in the limits of the world mm-hmm. and how much it can hurt and why you should be sad. So much of that is already cooked into these beliefs that we have. We need to wake up. We need miracles to let those go and start using vision instead of sight. Good, good.
So, number 7. Judgment is but a toy, a whim. The census means to play the idle game of death in your imagination.
Well, how do you like that? From the perspective of Jesus, judgment is not knowledge. Please continue.
So when I'm judging, that's what I'm doing.
You bet. You're sorting out what you prefer. You're using your past to guide you.
Well, that certainly comes in good for something I was going to complain about. But vision sets all things right, bringing them gently within the kindly sway of heaven's laws. What if you recognize this world as an hallucination, What if you really understood you made it up? What if you realized that those who seem to walk about in it, to sin and die, attack and murder, and destroy themselves, are wholly unreal? Could you have faith in what you see if you accepted this, and would you see it?
There's your existential question about what's on the news and how you feel about what you see happening in the world. You know, I'm just pointing out that you're a drug user. I'm just pointing out that if you respond or react in any negative way to anything happening out there, you're a user. Which is fine if that's you still, if you want a few more hits, go for it. But you'll get tired and you'll want to come back to love. Jacqueline.
Well, I know the other day when I read about the little toddler whose parents were both killed in that shooting, right?
Yeah.
I felt like it pierced my heart. You know, there was this really strong emotion, and yet I think with Course in Miracles, you know, it also took me to what everything, the whole picture, the holistic picture of all of that. And of course, these are bodies, but I mean, there's so much more. I don't have television. I don't tend to, you know, I do look at news some because I want to take these Course in Miracles things, and because things do affect me when I read about them, right? Sometimes I'm horrified or sometimes it pierces my heart. So there, it's just, yeah, Course in Miracles helps to, I guess, not be so addicted to it, you know, like you said, not to be so drunk on it.
Yeah, and now when something stirs you and you bring it to your Holy Spirit, you are helping Jesus. You are helping the Holy Spirit in a way because you're coming halfway. You're taking what has pierced your heart. You're saying, how can I see light here? How can I reconcile this with love? That's a very decent challenge.
Well, and that's where that experience of when I said, how can this be nothing, with another experience that was painful for me, and the word just came, this is.
It's true. In the fewest words possible, the truth was spoken. So you felt it. It's not the words. It's what you felt when you heard this is. It just is. You're like, oh, yeah.
So anyway.
That's what a surrender to truth feels like. It just is. And you accept it. Very good, Jacqueline.
There's a woman here who wants to be upset about everything she sees on the news, and she only listens to one station, she calls it her station.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so the other day I was walking by and she says, Luann, aren't you afraid of this gas thing that we're not going to have any gas anymore? I kept on walking. I said, well, I don't think about it because I don't want to be, I don't want to think about it. I only want to be happy. So she shut up. But I have to tell you, she will find something awful about everything she hears and sees.
Yeah, this is her hobby.
Mm-hmm.
It's much like a hobby. Mm-hmm. And you deprive her of her hobby. Doesn't mean anything. That she sees, looks out for the negative doesn't mean anything. All it means for is, do you seek to join her negativity or do you look for the positivity? It sounds like you're choosing positive.
I'm choosing not to be in a world of negativity.
Yeah. Continue to use vision. Look for the light. Continue to look for that. Jason, you ready to read for us paragraph 8?
Can you tell me what page, please?
Page 443.
Okay. Almost. Wait. A second. 443, paragraph.
Paragraph 8, and you're kind of quiet. Are you on a laptop or a phone or what?
I'm on a MacBook.
You're on the MacBook. Okay, so you got to kind of speak into your keyboard a little bit.
Okay. All right. Is that better?
Not really.
Try it. No.
All right.
Could be my auditory. Let me just see what my settings are.
I think it's a little better.
Okay, output. Is that better?
It's going to be the microphone, the input.
So the input.
Ah, that's way better.
Okay, great.
Okay. Welcome back.
Hallucinations disappear when they are recognized for what they are. This is the healing and the remedy. Believe them not, and they are gone. And
look, you guys ever wonder, how do I do this? How do I get rid of the ego? How am I going to do my Course in Miracles? What's the goal of this whole book? How do I get enlightened, etc.? It's Jason just read it. Believe it not, and it is gone. So really, you're maybe a lot closer than you think, considering you do take responsibility for your thoughts. Please continue.
And all you need to do is recognize that you did this. Once you accept the simple fact and take unto yourself the power you gave them, you are released from them. One thing is sure. Hallucinations serve a purpose. And when that purpose is no longer held, they disappear. Therefore, the question never is whether you want them, but always, do you want the purpose that they serve? This world seems to hold out many purposes, each different and with different values. Yet they are all the same. Again, there is no order, only a seeming hierarchy of values.
You know, I want to go to Tim's pencil analogy right here. It isn't the pencil that you want. It is the purpose the pencil serves. This is to move toward meaning and significance and away from the specific object. What can the pencil do for you? If it's absolutely nothing, it should be thrown away. Now I want to have a pencil around so I can write things down and erase them. Oh, I love pencils. I can make mistakes now. Good. All right, good. I love that.
That's really important for me. Mm-hmm. So I want to keep the purpose that I had them for.
Yes. Because that's where its meaning is. That's where its value is. What purpose of anything that you can see? It's part of a sorting out, if you will. Like from the Manual for Teachers, it tells us we go through a period of sorting out where you still have people in your life and things in your life. And it's just like, you know, waking up to their value on your path for you. You can look at each thing and, you know, does this serve a purpose that I value? It's worth considering.
Okay, I have an ego. Mm-hmm. What the old-fashioned term for ego is. And I had three or four of my really long-term girlfriends, 40, 50 years. Over in this little room, and we were standing in front of the kitchenette where there is a microwave hanging on the cabinet, and there's fingerprints on it. So one of my girlfriends says, "You see that?" And she pointed it to everybody. She said, "My husband always has fingerprints on ours, and that's what he." And I keep telling him he doesn't need to do that. He should wipe them off instead of me having to do it. I sat there thinking, she's using something that I did as an example of how bad it was. And I have had a hard time getting over it ever since. And when I'm thinking of the person, and she's coming tomorrow, and I wanted to do something to clear that up, and then I'm thinking now, do There's nothing I need to do with her. It's something I need to do with myself.
It had nothing to do with you. Her comments had, in fact, Luann, I think you should celebrate and say you're welcome in your mind to her, because she got to see fingerprints that let her tell a dear story in her life about her husband and a grievance that she has, and she looked for some support from her girlfriends. She was not commenting about the cleanliness of your kitchen. Because you know why? She doesn't live there. She doesn't care if you put fingerprints in your... She has fingerprints on her kitchen she doesn't want.
That might be true, but that's not the way I took it.
I know. That's why I'm just pointing out the work that you have to do.
Okay.
You can have a miracle around that very sight of fingerprints in your own kitchen. They were nothing until she told you that they were bad. And you had to believe her. You can release that. You can forgive your thought about those fingerprints.
Okay.
Jacqueline.
Well, I find that if I had the same, I would probably have a similar reaction as Luann in that kind of a situation. And what I've noticed is it has to do with that sense in myself that somehow I'm wrong or there's something wrong with me. And that's what needs to be healed for me.
Yes.
That's where anytime I feel like I've made him, you know, in somebody's eyes, especially somebody else's eyes. I mean, we're always, so that sense of wrongness.
Sense of wrongness. And A Course in Miracles calls it a sense of lack.
Yes. So that's, and you know, when it comes up now, that's what I know it doesn't have to do with, I remind myself, it doesn't have to do with that. It has to do with my journey of undoing and healing that.
You bet. It has to do with your judgment of that, yeah, of that thought.
Yes.
And then your blame. And then your guilt.
Yeah, the guilt. The guilt.
Seek no further than your own mind.
Oh. Well.
Is it possible to be able to go through this life and receive the highest teachings of love and enlightenment and still have fingerprints on your cabinets?
Oh, yes.
Okay, then let's be done with that. Yeah, you know, you got to leave. You got to give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. And, you know, if the laws are no fingerprints in the cabinet and you don't want to go to jail, clean them. But if there's no law, it's your personal preference. Or if you live with somebody and you want to be cooperative, then you might cooperate with that outside influence. But you bet, this is an opportunity for you to have a miracle on your own punishing yourself. You put yourself on the Course says a lesson all about this, where you crucify yourself daily, it says, with your own thoughts of self-guilt and your own thoughts of judgment about your own performance, which nobody is measuring but you.
Because of who you are as an extension of your Creator, your thoughts are so powerful that they will create what you will believe is your reality.
Yep.
And it will appear in evidence until you change the thought that's casting the shadow, that's saying that out there, those fingerprints, they're real. And furthermore, somehow it's about me and being broken. You know?
Broken.
Yeah.
You would need a miracle, but not a very big one.
Right.
So but you definitely need one.
What are you thinking? Hold that in your
head. I haven't hit what comes up for me, but
say more, Tim. What are you thinking?
What are you thinking? I mean, because it's so darn powerful what you are able to create through thought.
In the moment.
It's like holding a lightsaber or something. I mean, you better pay attention to where you swing that sucker, because it's going to cut.
Indeed.
It's for real.
It's like taking the thorn off the rose, which is beautiful, until you stick it in your own leg and start pressing it in. And the blood starts coming out, and you're pressing it in, and you're looking at those fingerprints and deciding that's bad, and that there's that's slovenly, and that somehow you lack something. This is all you pushing the thorn into your own leg.
But all of those thoughts, all of those perceptions, all of those self-judgments, all those comparisons came strictly from what thought you were holding in mind.
Thought.
Your creation.
Thought. Right. Yes, miracles are thoughts.
We don't get just how powerful our own thoughts are.
You got it.
And so waking up, you know, in a realistic way, has to do with that understanding.
So absolutely.
Wisdom, and then there's the compassion or love, as we said earlier.
You really have to wake up to how powerful your thoughts are.
You must.
So I'll tell you my thought about this, if you don't mind.
Sure.
It isn't so much about whether it's clean or not, from my point of view. It's whether or not she is saying that in front of all my friends to point out how I am in her mind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like this husband who doesn't keep his fingerprints off of things.
Mm-hmm.
And wait a minute, please, I'm not finished.
I apologize.
And it's the kind of comment she says to me, probably 2 or 3 times a year. It's like there's something about me that she is, I haven't figured out what it is. And that's, but I feel like I'm a pincushion with her putting pins in me.
Is she an Enneagram 1?
She's a 2. And she does have a strong 1 sign.
It's natural for her. You know, she's going to behave according to her nature only every time.
Okay.
Can you love her through that?
Well, I do. And I wonder sometimes why.
Well, that might be worth a second thought.
Makes me wonder why I do. But, you know,
she will pursue her nature every time.
Okay.
It's up to you now to accept her nature and see beyond it to her true self.
I was going to say, I think that's why I love her, because I can also see her true self.
And you don't have any problem with her keeping fingerprints off of her cabinets, I think, at all.
I would never notice something like that.
You wouldn't. You wouldn't, and that's your nature.
Okay, it's her nature. I should have thought of the Enneagram before.
Mm-hmm.
Alrighty.
Good. Plenty of room for forgiveness there and for release of guilt on both sides mm-hmm. of that perception.
Okay.
It's a great scenario. Can you see the love is just trying to break in here?
Absolutely. I can feel it. It's like I can take a breath and say, okay, I'm going to be loving with her when she comes over tomorrow.
Yes.
Instead of having this awful thought in my head about what can I say about that pin cushion.
Loving and supportive of her just the way she is.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
And loving and supportive of you just the way you are. You don't waste time cleaning every single fingerprint.
Every time.
Every time.
Once a day, probably, but not every
time. You don't do, you know, love yourself. You slept in. You can sleep a little more because you don't have to clean fingerprints every time before you go to bed. Love yourself. It's part of your nature. You're busy. She's busy making sure there's no fingerprints, and that does something for her. So it's a completion for her. It's a real gift.
Well, I think she has some gripes about her husband, too.
Yeah, that's another discussion. She's just following her nature.
Okay.
All right, now, let's go to page 129 and scoop this up. $129. Paragraph 10.
How come I don't have any lines under that page?
Well, it's time for you to put some there. 129, paragraph 10. We'll read the whole paragraph, but it's the last sentence I want you to really notice. So we'll get there, and we'll spend some time with the last sentence. And I think we've got to Tim. Tim, would you read for us text page 129, paragraph 10?
You are the will of God. Do not accept anything else as your will, or you are denying what you are. Deny this, and you will attack, believing you have been attacked. But see the love of God in you, and you will see it everywhere, because it is everywhere. See his abundance in everyone, and you will know that you are in him with them. They are part of you, as you are part of God. You are as lonely without understanding this as God himself is lonely when his sons do not know him. The peace of God is understanding this. There is only one way out of the world's thinking, just as there was only one way into it. Understand totally by understanding totality.
There is only one way out of the world's thinking. I hope you sat up and you're on the edge of your seat. A Course in Miracles, Jesus, is whispering in your ear, there is only one way out of the world's thinking. I think this sounds like we're about to get a real enlightenment boost here. We're about to get a tip from the healed mind. Managed to put it through Helen into English, into a copy of a book that you own. There is only one way out of the world's thinking, comma, just as there was only one way into it. It sounds like things are getting very simple.
Mm-hmm.
Thank goodness, right? Here it comes. Understand totally, which means complete freedom, by understanding totality. Period. End of teaching. You have no other needs. This is enough. That sentence is enough to give you direction and a vector for your awakening. Like, now I get that tattooed and say, I know what my job is. Maybe you don't have it. Of course, you're not there, but you know your job. Understand totally by understanding totality. You know, I've told you that heaven in this book, it's code. It's code for knowledge. And light is code for understanding. You would enter heaven by having the light of oneness understood, totality understood. This is the healing of your mind that would take away perception and let you stand from the perspective of totality and embrace all things as having come from love for love.
And that's the step towards transcendence.
Amen. That's the word. You got it.
There in my mind is some time and place, which I know can't be, where there is a later copy of this book than the one we're reading now that's got some really cool stuff in it. And I know it's not our business. We've got our plate full. But it just, it tickles the mind to think about that. You know what I'm saying? It's like,
true.
Wow.
It's true.
Perhaps some way, time, place.
When your mind is no longer fixated on the unlovable and unloving, then that information is available. You can't speak the language just yet. Good. Good little tease you did there with your mind. I like that.
How cool is that?
Yeah, how cool is that? It's waiting. It's waiting for you. Yeah. It's right there. Right there.
Slide volumes. Over.
Volumes. Look at sentence 4 before we move off this page. But see the love of God in you, and you will see it everywhere, because it is everywhere. Remember those early lessons? God is in everything I see, because God is in my mind. Two days in a row, you spend on that one sentence in the workbooks. When you do the lessons, you spend 2 days on that one sentence from the text. God is in everything I see one day. God is in everything I see because God is in my mind. How generous. What a complete teaching. I mean, really? Do you really need any more lessons than that? Couldn't you derive your entire existence and experience just from those two lessons? The second one? I mean, really? And yet, there's more. We got a whole book. How generous. How generous. Okay, back to tonight's reading. Page 474.
Are we not going to meditate on that after all?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Thank you. Good point. Yeah, I do want you to absorb that because we're such a small group here. So let's do that. Thank you. Thank you, Luann. Thank you. I don't want to rush getting back to that other paragraph. So let's take a moment. I will walk you through that again to get you back into that space. But let's take a moment to really integrate this text, page 129, paragraph 10, sentence 9 and 10. This is a gift to you from the part of your mind that has healed. Call that part Jesus. It's a good handle. But take a moment to receive the gift that's being offered to you right now. It is this. There is only one way out of the thinking of the world. Just as there was only one way into the thinking of the world. Open your mind now, for simplicity is being offered to you. You have wound your mind up so complex, looking for complex answers. Move yourself to receive the simple truth. You can understand with no shadows and with no questions. You can answer all questions that the ego may rise. In fact, you can return your mind to a home state as God created you by choosing to understand totality. Take a moment and absorb that. Totality. all inclusive. You, whatever you are included in totality, and that does not change. Move your thoughts now to totality. There is only one way out of the thinking of the world where you find yourself drowning right now. There's only one way out, just as there was only one way in. How simple now it must be. Understand totally by understanding totality. Period. Thank you very much. Understand totally by understanding totality. This is the thought that will eventually set you free in whatever form it takes. And when you're ready, please open your eyes and let's share more. You know, just as a gift, because we're here, let's read the next paragraph. It's wonderful. Luann, go ahead. Give us number 11 that follows up that fantastic sentence we just meditated on.
Paragraph 11?
Uh-huh.
That's 473, paragraph 11.
Oh, sorry, it's page 129.
Oh, we're on 129.
Yeah, we went back and scooped up.
I forgot
this
what
little, this gift, this right. Significant gift, this high, high leverage from the mind of Jesus just for you. And he's like, I don't know if you can really get this, but I'm just going to tell you. Understand totally, but understanding totality. You don't need anything else. But all right, I'll tell you more. I'll tell you more, you stubborn ego addict. Give us paragraph 11 on page 129.
Perceive any part of the ego's thought system as wholly insane, wholly delusional, and wholly undesirable, and you have correctly evaluated all of it.
You know what I like about that sentence? Is because it takes us right back into tonight's reading, which is about reason. About sanity. Reason will tell you. How many times have we seen that in these last couple sessions together?
Right.
This is talking to you about reasonable. Please continue.
This correction enables you to perceive any part of creation as wholly real, wholly perfect, and wholly desirable. Wanting this only, you will have this only. And giving this only, you will be only this. The gifts you offer to the ego are always experienced as sacrifices. But the gifts you offer to the kingdom are gifts to you. They will always be treasured by God because they belong to his beloved sons who belong to him. All power and glory are yours because the kingdom is his. Wow.
This correction enables you to perceive any part of creation as wholly real, wholly perfect, and wholly desirable. This is a healed mind, no longer in conflict. Wow. Real quick, turn to workbook page 458. Should be number 316 458, number 316. This is a sweet little lesson that kind of follows up. Jason, when you get there, I got your mute. Would you read that whole lesson for us?
I was confused on this. 458?
Yeah, it's in the workbook. 458, number 316. All gifts I give my brothers are my own.
I'm confused by that.
Well, it's a circle we're talking about. We're in the workbook, number 316, and we're talking about this. How powerful are your thoughts?
All right, okay. Hold on. I was somewhere else, obviously.
Lesson 316.
All right, here we go. All gifts I give my brothers are my own. As every gift my brother give is mine, so every gift I give belongs to me. Each one allows a past mistake to go and leave no shadow on the holy mind my father loves. His grace is given me in every gift a brother has received throughout all time and past all time as well. My treasure house is full, and angels watch its open doors that no one gift is lost, and only more are added. Let me come to where my treasures are and enter in where I am truly welcome and at home among the gifts that God has given me. Father, I would accept your gifts today. I do not recognize them, yet I trust that you who give them will provide the means by which I can behold them, see their worth, and cherish only them as what I want.
As what I want. Think about those fingerprints and your girlfriend coming over tomorrow, Luann, and just cherish that these are gifts. She is a gift of God. The discussion that we had tonight about the fingerprints, the fact that she brought them up with you, all seen through vision. All of this is gifts that you want. They are not a problem.
Okay.
Love is waiting to wash over you about this whole thing.
Yeah.
Good, good, good. Okay. Back to page 474. We have just enough time. Okay, so the introduction of reason into the ego's thought system. Wow! That's the beginning of the undoing of the ego. You see, the Holy Spirit doesn't need reason. Your healed mind, you as the Christ mind, doesn't use reason. There's no deciding. There's no judging. There's no perceiving. There's no correcting in heaven. But here, there is. And so for you to save the world, which you must do, like it or not, then you would have to have reason enter into your insane mind. And here it comes. The introduction of reason into the ego's thought system is the beginning of its undoing. We're disempowering the ego. For reason and the ego are contradictory, yes, nor is it possible for them to coexist in your awareness. This is an all-or-nothing game. Mutually exclusive? Either you love or you hate. You don't hate. You don't love to hate. You hate. It's really nice and simple that way.
Yeah, it is, because I really don't love to hate.
You really don't. Sometimes you hate a lot. There's certain politicians or something you just kind of dig in on, or certain practices of the government, or certain practices of that neighbor that you just think is so unfair. Letting the ego take over. So they're mutually exclusive. Love is not judgmental at all. Yes, so you know the ego's up to its old ways. When it's being divisive. Okay. This is not a play on words. The previous sentence is, for reasons, goal is to make plain and therefore obvious. You can see reason. He's using that word see because reason does make sense. Reason is logical. It's not a play on words, for here's the beginning of a vision that has meaning. Vision is sense, quite literally. If it is not the body's sight, it must be understood. I'm reminding you that vision is in your mind. And when you see correctly, like Jacqueline was telling us, she had a vision that, it just doesn't matter. It's nothing. Nothingness is actually nothing. The ego wants to look at all the details and have a story how each problem is really okay. But spirit says, no, nothing is actually nothing, and there's nothing even to look at. Forgiveness is an undoing of nothing, not an undoing of something. This is why forgiveness eventually is automatic. Automatic. Because nothing is nothing. It becomes so simple this way. And then you move on. And now forgiveness is required. That's a miracle. Forgiveness is required to stop following your ego thoughts into chaotic thinking and beating yourself up and remembering the past and all that. Your awakening requires the forgiveness. The miracle is not enough. The miracle is it's actually nothing. That you're actually dreaming, and a dream is nothing. That's the miracle. But you keep thinking it's something, see? That's forgiveness. This is where the actual work is done. The holy instant is a celebration. It's a recognition of what happens automatically when you allow the truth to be true. Yes, Jacqueline?
That just really hit me. Undoing, it's the undoing of nothing, not the undoing of something.
That a girl!
It's, I guess, a whole nother... more truth, more perspective or something. It's great.
You got it. You seem like got it.
Makes it seem a lot easier.
Yes. And now you know it's true. You know, we've read it a bunch of times, but until you're ready to really own it, The correction doesn't happen, but I felt that correction. You can start to own that. I'll show you. We have just enough time. I'll show you where we've seen it so many times now. Let's go look at it, because we're going to celebrate Jacqueline's comment. Go to page 272.
In the text?
In the text, chapter 14. Yeah, it is. Watch this. Watch how Jesus has been saying this all along, and now we finally heard it. He's like, wow, how do I get through to you people? He says, here's what I'm up against, right? Ready? I think we're ready for Tim. You're good to go. Tim, on page 272, let's read the first, three paragraphs of the happy learner. Listen to how he talks about nothing.
The Holy Spirit needs a happy learner in whom his mission can be happily accomplished. You, who are steadfastly devoted to misery, must first recognize that you are miserable and not happy. The Holy Spirit cannot teach without this contrast, for you believe that misery is happiness. This has so confused you that you've undertaken to learn to do what you can never do, believing that unless you learn it, you will not be happy. You do not realize that the foundation on which this most peculiar learning goal depends means absolutely nothing. Yet it may still make sense to you. Have faith in nothing, and you will find the treasure that you seek. Yet you will add another burden to your already burdened mind. You will believe that nothing is of value and will value it. A little piece of glass, a speck of dust, a body, or a war, they're all one to you. For if you value one thing made of nothing, you have believed that nothing can be precious, and that you can learn how to make the untrue true.
Oh my God. For if you value one thing made of nothing, you will believe that nothing can be precious.
All or nothing.
You're going to have to dream it up, and that you can learn how to make the untrue true. But if it's actually nothing like any dream is, then you're working to undo nothing. You're something. You are something. You are life. You are an extension of God. You are something. But the dream that you're having of being in a body is actually nothing. In fact, the home that you've made for the body, the whole world, it's nothing also. The multiple copies and perspectives that you've had from Mother Teresa to Putin is nothing. A place where you can practice separation is a dream, a practice of a use of mind. It is nothing. This you must allow to. Allow the truth of this and the peace of this to settle in your mind. Let's see one more paragraph. Jacqueline, give us number two.
The Holy Spirit, seeing where you are, but knowing you are elsewhere, begins his lesson in simplicity with the fundamental teaching that truth is true. This is the hardest lesson you will ever learn, and in the end, the only one. Simplicity is very difficult for twisted minds. Consider all the distortions you have made of nothing, all the strange forms and feelings and actions and reactions that you have woven out of it.
Out of nothing.
Out of nothing. Nothing is so alien to you as the simple truth, and nothing are you less inclined to listen to. The contrast between what is true and what is not perfectly apparent, wait a minute, the contrast between what is true and what is not is perfectly apparent, yet you do not see it. The simple and the obvious are not apparent to those who would make palaces and royal robes of nothing, believing they are kings with golden crowns because of them.
He's been talking about the silliness of investing in nothing for quite a while, but he knows that we're really, really invested in these royal robes of nothing, in these people and bodies, and these beliefs that seem to be so important. You know what? Since we're running out of time, instead of reading the next paragraph, this is a wonderful section. The whole section, Jacqueline, you might enjoy reading that before you go to sleep tonight, because you've had your nothing awakening.
Well, I had my gobbledygook.
What?
Well, I was shown that all the thoughts and everything, the webs of the ego, it's just gobbledygook. And if you look up, there is a meaning that says it's words and things are used to or hide the truth.
Nice. Gobbledygook.
A humorous way of thinking of the ego's saying, oh, that's gobbledygook when my mind starts going. So it's been a little kind of a humorous, helpful way for me. So when I was reading this, that's it. It's all about gobbledygook.
It is. Yeah. It is. It is. And then would you be concerned about something happening in a dream that you knew you were dreaming, Jacqueline?
Yeah, I know this.
If you knew you were dreaming, you'd be like, oh, it's just a dream. Huh?
Mm-hmm.
Not so serious. There you go, girl. So look, let's turn to workbook page 281 and just read one paragraph that reflects what we just read a little further, a little deeper, a little more. Let's receive this gift from Jesus as we close the meeting with this paragraph in obviousness. I mean, wouldn't an awakening, a spiritual awakening, be seen as obvious? I mean, you would go, oh, I get it. And what is true is always true. I just wasn't thinking right. Right? Celebrate that. Celebrate the simplicity of salvation, not complexity of salvation. You have actually nothing to learn. You just have to undo what you've been teaching yourself.
Yeah.
This is not a learning. This is an undoing. Nothing is actually nothing. You see the relief in Jacqueline's face? It's like, wait. I'm forgiving nothing, so it's not actually hard. That's correct. You can only forgive nothing. You can't forgive something because something would have to be real. You can't forgive something that's real. You can't release something that's real. No, you must have the miracle that shows you its nothingness. And then you can let it go because, well, it's nothing. You've corrected it. 2 + 2 = 5. I'm going to forgive that answer because it's not right. In fact, it's nothing. 2 + 2 is completely erroneous mistake. 2 + 2 = 5 is just a mistake, completely erroneous. I shall not keep it. 2 + 2 = 4. Good replacement. Solid. Reason will tell you 2 + 2 = 4. You can let go of the nothingness of 2 + 2 = 5. Free. Freedom. Okay, let's go for it. Let's go to paragraph 3. And I think we come back up to Luann. So Luann, quick, read us paragraph 3 on page 281 in the workbook. It's part of lesson 152, The Power of Decision is My Own.
Salvation is the recognition that the truth is true and nothing else is true. This you've heard before, but may not yet accept both parts of it. Without the second has no meaning. But without the second, is the first no longer true? Truth cannot have an opposite. This cannot be too often said and thought about. For if what is not true is true, as well as what is true, then part of truth is false. And that's a twist and twist.
There it is. You got it. He, on purpose.
And truth has lost its meaning. Nothing but the truth is true, and what is false is false.
This is Jesus celebrating Jacqueline's comment of nothingness. To see nothing as nothing, what a gift to yourself. Wow, I've been worried about nothing, literally. The truth is true, that much you don't argue with. Nothing else is true. Nothing real can be threatened. Are you okay with that? Nothing real, nothing true, nothing from God, nothing created can be threatened. Nothing that exists forever and is made of love can be threatened. Are you okay with that? I think so. This one's a little harder. Nothing unreal exists. That's a little harder for you. We need A Course in Miracles to sort that out, but we have exactly what we're doing. Receive the simplicity of salvation and the gift that is offered you tonight on page 129, paragraph 10, and also in what we just read, the simplicity of the truth is up just one thought away for you. Understand totally by understanding totality. Just receive that gift as you go to sleep tonight. The truth of totality. Thank you for studying A Course in Miracles with me. Let's do it again next week.